I want to do this very quickly. I won't take a lot of time. I know we're going to be together again at 6 p.m. to pray. So I'll do this very quickly. My subject for this morning is the night cometh. The night cometh. And that's taken directly from the lips of Jesus. I'll ask you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 9. I'll read from verse 4 and verse 5. John chapter 9. And I do hope and trust that God will use the words that I speak to us this afternoon to instruct every one of us. That every heart will, no heart will reject instruction. John chapter 9 verse 4. Jesus was speaking. This was after the issue of the blind man was healed, and they were asking him, was he born blind? Why was he born blind? Did his father sin? Was it him? And all of that. And Jesus in verse 4 said to them, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. He said, the night cometh. He said, there is a work that I have to do. I have to do it during the day. Jesus was speaking. And he said, the reason I have to be very conscious about this work during the day is because the night is coming. Everybody look at your neighbor for me. Say to them, the night cometh. The night cometh. When is the night? The night, my friends, according to the words of Jesus, is when no man can walk anymore. He said to them in verse 5, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. The night, my friends, according to the words of Jesus in verse 5, is when you are no longer in this world. For every one of us, we have our lives. And that's what Jesus called here the day. But while Jesus was living in the day, he was conscious of something that is the night that is coming. The night to Jesus is when I cannot walk anymore. And then in verse 5, he was saying to them, the night is that period that will come when I will no longer be in this world. While he was in this world, he said, I am the light of the world. But he understood that a time is going to come that will come to an end. My message to us this morning is simple. As sure as it is day right now for every one of us, the night will come. The Bible promises us long life. And I want everybody to understand and make sure that you believe that. The Bible teaches us, it says, with long life will I satisfy them. And so I declare, according to scriptures, over everybody in this house this morning listening to me, you will live long in the name of Jesus. But that's not my subject today. My subject is to remind us that no matter how long you live, there will come a day when they will say, we have come. If Jesus tarries, there will come a day when they will say, we have come, and here lies the body of Muyojo. I put my own name so that you don't say that I put your name. But I tell you something this morning, and I'll read those scriptures to call our attention to this, that as sure as there is day right now, the night cometh for every one of our lives. James chapter 4, let's turn our Bibles there and read. James chapter 4, I'll read verse 13, verse 14. A couple of scriptures I'll read quickly here, and then I'll bring us to a place where I want the night that is coming to talk to us during the day. The problem is because we're in the day, many people will say to me this morning, Pastor, I'm still very young, I'm young. The younger you are, the more you need to listen to me right now. Because the night is coming. James chapter 4, verse 13. I'm sure this is not the most exciting message that you've ever heard, but I can tell you it's one of the most important you ever need to hear. Verse 13, he says, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. This is talking to everybody who has ambitions, everybody who has plans for tomorrow. He says, you say, I'm going to continue there a year. I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell and I'm going to get gain. And that's really many times the summary of many of our lives. I'm going to sell, I'm going to buy, I'm going to gain. And he says, and he said to them in verse 14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. He says, for what is your life? This is not me this morning. This is the Bible. It says, for what is your life? It says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and does what, people? And does what, everybody, this morning? I know we're people of faith and we like me to just tell us that you will live forever and you will never die. But that's not the truth. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what experience teaches. That's not what Jesus taught us. And we see this morning, the Bible says, what is your life? Your physical life that you have, by which you could get up this morning, get this and come to church and say, I'm a human being. I'm walking all over the place. I have a job. I do this. I do that. I get married. I have children. I do all of that. Bible says, what is it? It says, it's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Listen to the words of David, 1 Kings chapter 2. I like the way David describes the night. Talking about the night. Today is just the day in many of our lives. And I'll keep on praying for you that your days will bring you a lot of profit. Your days will be well. But as well as your days may be, the night is coming. Listen to David, 1 Kings 2. I'll read from verse 1 and then we'll get into verse 2. And see the way David helps me to describe the end and the night of every man. The Bible says in 1 Kings 2 verse 1, now the days of David grew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son. Next Sunday, I'll be speaking about generational thinking. So today I'm getting us to have our mindset upon the night. When the night will come, next week I will have us to be thinking about when that night has come, what do you leave behind for the next generation? So generational thinking is what I'm talking about next Sunday. But today we're just preparing ourselves to let us hear the voice of the night in our lives. Bible says, now the days drew nigh that David should die. And then he called his son Solomon. I'm talking about that some of the things I'm talking about next week is that generational pass down of a baton. And he charged Solomon his son and he's saying, I go the way of all the earth. Look at how David puts it. He said, this way that I'm about to go, this is the way that all the earth will go. I remember when my father passed away how many years ago now? 13 years ago. The first thing that came to my heart when I got that call, my sister called me and said, Dad passed away. The first thing that came to my mind is, it's gone the way of all the earth. That's going to be the eternal, the destination of every one of us is that the night will come. Anybody still enjoying this message this morning? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men, once to do what? Talk to me, everybody. It's appointed unto men, once to do what?
Die.
Wants to die. It's appointed unto everybody. It's like you have an appointment. You have a termin. You have something that has been, your name is on it. You will die one day. Genesis 3. Let me read from verse 19. I'm just trying to make you see this morning. I know that everybody knows this, but we don't think about it. What I'm trying to do this morning is I want us to think about it. I want us to think about it because if you think about the fact that the night is going to come, it will affect the way you deal with the day. We're not going to die young. Nobody will die young here.
Amen.
We will live to the fullness of our age. But I want us to understand the night is coming. Genesis 3 verse 19. The Bible says, in the sweat of thy face, this is God talking to Adam. And when God, can I say this to you this morning? This scripture that I'm reading here is where death came into the picture. When God created man, Adam and Eve, and put them in the garden, we were never supposed to die. We were meant to live forever. So you notice this is where death came into the picture. Genesis 3 verse 19. Bible says, God said to Adam, in the sweat of your face shalt thou eat bread. That's where poverty also came into the picture. It says, till thou return to the ground. It says, for out of it, the ground, was thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Do you see that? Now, anybody that is New Testament taught, if you read that scripture and you hear me saying that's where death came, what you should be thinking, and I hope many of you are thinking that right now, is that, but Jesus died for us to redeem us from the results of everything Adam did. But you notice the scripture? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. I hope I teach somebody something there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. You know what he says? He says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what?
Death.
Is death. That is the one thing that Adam did that is still in operation today. And the Bible says that will be the last enemy that shall be destroyed. And that is the reason why you and I still have to deal with physical death today. What am I trying to say? Think about the night during the day. Let the night affect the day. Another way that I want to put it, and I'll just quickly share two thoughts and I'll let you go, is let the night speak to the day. What is the night saying, my friends? Let's hear two things this morning. There are many things, if I had the time, we could be talking about. But two things that come from the voice of the night. And I want everybody, as the longest day you live, make sure you always hear the voice of the night. That voice that tells you the night cometh. Jesus, all his life, as you read through the scriptures, he was always this guy that was always thinking, he was one that, he didn't have the, like you and I today, we have the promise of we can live 90 years, 100 years, 110, 120 years. But that makes us think we have all the time. Jesus knew that his time is short. So there was somebody who was always very conscious of the night. And we'll see it in some of the scriptures we'll read in a few minutes this morning. So the voice of the night is what I want you to hear today. And I pray for you that you will hear it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What is the first thing that the voice of the night is saying to us? Please hear me at the beginning of this year. The first thing that the voice of the night is saying to us is that a man's life is not the sum total of his possessions. A man's life, the Bible puts it that way in the King James, we'll read it in a few minutes, does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, and we'll read there the story of what we call the rich young ruler. Luke chapter 12, we'll read from verse 13. If you are somebody that listens to the voice of the night, one of the first things you will hear, and I hope that everybody in this church this morning is hearing it, is that your life is not the sum total of the things that you possess. That's not your life. Luke 12, verse 13. Everybody there? Okay. I know it's not the topic you want to hear, but please still answer me. Is everybody there in Luke chapter 12?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Very good. That's why I keep on saying, I said to myself when I preach this message, every 5 minutes, I will stop and I will say, God has promised us long life. So that people can still follow along with me because we like to hear good things. And that's the truth. But this morning, we must never forget. If the devil is able to make us forget the night, then we get to the night. Not in the state we should get to the night. And everybody will get to the night. Luke 12 verse 13, listen to this. Bible says, and one of the company said unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So even back then in those days, people already fighting upon inheritance and all that. And then Jesus said unto the man, he said, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? When is that my job to do? And he said unto them in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. Then he made that statement. Jesus himself made that statement. He said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And I want everybody to understand this morning that in scriptures, the Bible promises us and the New Testament teaching that a child of God should do well. People that walked with God in the Bible have always done well. Everybody that walked with God did well financially in scriptures. That's all you find. So this is not a parable talking about you should never have anything. But he says, whatever you have, that's not your life. Whatever you have, they are mundane, small things that you should never live for. He says the man's life. You think, what is the man's life itself? The man's life does not consist. There is the abundance of what he owns. But what he owns is not his life. Was his teaching right there. Then he began in verse 17 to teach them a parable that I want to teach us this morning. Bible says, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? No, sorry, verse 16 is where she starts. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Up to that point, there is nothing wrong. God himself is the author of increase. The Bible says the righteous man, his path shines brighter and brighter. So for this man's ground to bring forth plentifully, it's still all okay. Am I still talking to people this morning? I pray for you that your ground will bring forth plentifully this year in Jesus' name. Amen. And in verse 17, the Bible says, the man thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Then he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. There I will bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I've heard people say that that's where he went wrong. How can he be planning how he will save it instead of giving it all away? And I said, no. No, it makes simple sense. There is abundance. Remember Joseph? When Joseph went to Egypt and he gave a word to the king and interpreted his dream, he said there will be those 7 years of abundance. And by the wisdom of God, Joseph said to Pharaoh, he said, in those 7 years, we're going to build these silos. We're going to store. So this man here, where he's saying that, okay, the barns I had, they are too small for the level of harvest that I have this year. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to expand. And I speak expansion into your life this year in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I, up till this point, this is fine. This is heavenly wisdom. And I'll build greater. And I'll bestow all the fruits and the goods. Verse 19, we begin to go wrong. And he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What was he saying? The life I have, the use of it, the purpose of it was to have abundance. Now I have abundance. There is nothing to strive for anymore in life. Take your ease and relax. So in his mind, his life consisted in the abundance of the things that he possessed. Am I talking to somebody this morning? The point where you begin to measure your life. So this man looked at his life and he said, look, I'll say to my soul, talking about his life, he said, I'll say to my soul, take it easy. You've reached the purpose for which you were made. You have more than enough for many years, so you can relax. So in his mind, the purpose of life is to gather. And Jesus was saying, nah, no. A man's life, do you understand this parable this morning?
Yes, sir.
A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things. And then in verse 20, Bible says, but God said to him, thou fool. This night, you know what happened to the man? To this man here, I believe that this man actually not postponed. What is the opposite of postpone? Prepone. Yeah, that's a proper English word. So this man preponed his night. Look for other words. Cut short, pass, fast forward. Whatever you can. Whatever. Say it in your language. Say it in whatever you want to. What happened to him is he had a life. There was going to be a night for him somewhere later. But that day, God said, today, your night has been pulled from wherever it is in the future and pulled to this night. So he said to them, he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then in verse 21, he said, so is he that lays up treasure for himself. And people will read that and say, it is wrong for a Christian to be rich and all that. Bullshit. Pardon my French. He says, I don't know why they say it's French when you speak those kind of, I'm sorry for French people. So he says, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Do you see the full picture?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong in laying up treasure. But there's something wrong in laying up treasure and not being rich towards God. Let's make a few points here, and I hope this parable becomes a little bit clear in everybody's mind. I've said this to us. Let me just say it so that you can write it down. He went wrong when he concluded that the purpose of life was reached by material possessions. When he made that conclusion that the purpose of life has been reached. Now I have more than enough for the many years, so there's nothing to strive for anymore. That's the point where he went wrong. Can I say to us this afternoon, if you look in that verse 20 where the Bible says, and God said to the man, this night, That your soul that you said should relax and enjoy is required back. It makes me think, therefore, that life is a lease. Life is a lease, my friends. You know what a lease is? You're allowed to use this for 10 years. You're allowed to use this for 50 years. And at the end of 50 years, it will be required back from you. Look at your neighbor for me. Say to them this morning, life is a lease.
Life is a lease.
If you understand that and that stays with you and that speaks to you, you've heard me in this service this morning. Even though long life is promised, my friends, our eternity is not here. No. Many of us live our lives as if this is it. This is all about. You know, it's about, it says, that man was rich in this world, but he was not rich towards God. I put it in my note like that. I said, I call it rich versus rich. Treasure for yourself versus rich towards God. That's what we're talking about. The first thing that the voice of the night will say to you, if you understand very well, is that a man's life is not the sum total of his possessions. The second thing, and final one, and then I'll summarize, that the voice of the night says to us, and I really hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking to everybody's heart as I'm speaking this morning, is that we are pilgrims here, heaven is home. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
How many people watched that series, Pilgrim's Progress, when you were young? How many people? Some people did not watch. Let's read a few scriptures right now that speak about the fact that we're pilgrims. Most of us in this service this morning, you are, I wanted to say you are refugees, but we're not refugees. What are we actually? Expatriates, I like that. Hebrews 11 verse 13. The mindset I want us to have, you know, there's a different mindset. I'll speak about some of that next week as well. Among us immigrants that come to this country, that because many people have the mindset that I'm just going to be here for some time, and I'm going to go back to my home country, which in most cases does not happen, or does not happen successfully. But that mindset that I'm only here for some time stops people from doing well while they are here, because their mind is somewhere else. Are you with me? Now, I want us to take that mindset that I'm saying is wrong when we look at us being here. That's the mindset we need to have when it comes to our time here compared to where our eternity is going to be. That here, we are pilgrims here. Hebrews 11 verse 13. Talking about the fathers of faith. Look at the way it describes them, their mindset. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. There were things God spoke to them that were not going to happen until our days. So in their own days, they never saw those things. But they kept on believing, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them. But look at the last thing the Bible says about these fathers of faith. It says they confessed that they were strangers and what? They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That was their mindset. So when they were doing things, when somebody like Abraham, and God says to him, go and take your son and go and sacrifice for me. His mindset is, this whole realm where we are right now is not the end of it. We are strangers in this world. We are pilgrims in this world. Whatever I sacrifice in this world will mean nothing when we get to really where we're going. So their mindset was really that mindset. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Turn your Bibles there. Let's read it together again. You will see this concept of, in this world, we're strangers and pilgrims. A pilgrim is somebody who is on a journey. A pilgrim is somebody who is just passing through. You know what the Bible says about the children of Israel when they left Egypt? God said to them, when you are going on this, your journey, they never built any permanent structures. Are you listening to me? They lived in tents. So the Bible says our fathers, they lived in tents. The reason they lived in tents was they were pilgrims. They were on a journey. If you're on a journey, you don't build permanent structures. Because you know that we're going somewhere. We're only passing through. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. The Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You see that again? Strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Is what he's using to beg them here is that understanding that we're strangers in this world, we're pilgrims in this world. What am I talking about? The pilgrim mentality. That I approach life with the mindset that we're just passing through. Most of us Christians today we don't think like that anymore. If you look at the hymns of the church, the old hymns of the church, most of them usually three stanzas or four. For a majority of them, 80% of them easily, the last verse of it will be something about heaven. They will always be talking about our mansions in heaven. They'll be talking about when Jesus comes in the sky. They didn't just live life as if we've come to stay. So even their songs and all that, they were about the return of Jesus. They were about all of that. The last stanza, usually, they will write it, just go home, sit down, and begin to look at all the hymns, and you find that 8 out of 10 of them, the last verse of it will be talking about the return of Jesus, the mansions in heaven, the second coming of Jesus, all of those things. That's what they're thinking about. But today, in our age, nobody even wants to hear about Jesus is coming again. Nobody even wants to hear about any of those kind of things. Whereas I'm reminding us today that Jesus did, the night is coming. Can you help me look at your neighbor one more time today? Say, the night is coming. The voice of the night is saying to us that if we are pilgrims, that we are pilgrims here and heaven is home. And this is the way I look at anything in my life today, and I'll put this to you. If it is not going to go home with me, it's not worth living for. Please make sure you understand me. If it will not go home, remember, here we are pilgrims. Heaven is home. If it's not going home with me, it's not worth living for. And if you look at most of our lives are like the lives of that man who came to Jesus. And they said, all he's thinking about is, we're going to go to somewhere, we're going to spend a year, we're going to sell, we're going to buy, we're going to make gain, and that's all life is. And all of that stays here. I work, I have bills to pay, I have the same challenges that every one of us here would have as well. I seek to make gain, I seek to buy and sell, I seek to do all of those things, but I'm saying to you, none of them is worth living for. That you look at your life and you say, what am I doing with my life? You know, for example, we have prayer meetings, we have Bible studies, we have different ministries in church, people are serving in church, and there are people that will come to church and you just don't care, you don't serve in anything, you don't do anything. Why don't you? You are busy. You are doing whatever it is that you are doing. But the question is this, will it go home with you? Will it go home with you? There are things that will go home with you. Things like your service here in church, for example, my friends, it will go home with you. Bible says that some people will get saved, but all their works will be burnt. When they get to heaven, there will be nothing to show for it, except that their spirit has been saved. He said there will be no work. All their works will be burnt completely. Nothing to show. I'm asking everybody this morning to begin to think about the night. When the night comes, on that day, when they say, here lies the body of Mr. This, here lies the body of Mrs. This, on that day, the things that will matter have suddenly changed. And here we are, the majority of us spend most of our lives chasing things that are not going home with you. So while we chase all of those things, in my life today, what I try to do is this. In everything else that I'm doing outside of the call of God and the ministry of God, I'm asking God for great effectiveness, such that in the littlest of time, there's no English like that, but that's okay. You understand? In the least amount of time, I can get the best out of it. I don't want to waste my life there. If it is not going home with you, it's not worth living for. And what is a man who has nothing he's living for? And if I'm saying to you this morning, your job, your profession, and all of those things, they're not worth living for. What's the purpose of our jobs, if I ask you? Existence. Money. You know, people say, really, it's not about the money, it's a lie. You know the way you know it's a lie? Somebody say, I love my job. I find fulfillment. I like it. It's a lie. You know how I know it's a lie? Win the lottery today. You win the lottery, and they say now you are the proud owner of 500 million euros. And you pay your tax and all that, and you have 300 million euros in your account. And you say, I love my job. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to dress up and go to my job. It's a lie. All those are side things. The reason we go to work, most all of us, the reason we go to work is money. And that's fine. You need to survive in life. You need to pay your bills. You need to be a responsible member of society. But that can't be what you live for. And for many lives, it's a tragedy that there is nothing else people can point to that you are doing with your life. So at the end of that text that we read in verse 21, the Bible says that man gathered up treasures, but he was not rich towards God. Do you see what I'm talking about here? So during the day, he looks good. That man looks good because he has treasures. And in every culture in this world, in every culture, a rich man is respected. Even in church, unfortunately. But in every culture in this world, Western culture, African culture, everywhere, a rich man is respected. So during the day, the man looks good. But when the night comes, the Bible says you are not rich towards God. There's nothing. I hope you hear me this morning. Because you hear the voice of the night, and the voice of the night is saying to you, you are a pilgrim here, heaven is home, you want to make sure you don't go home alone. Do you understand what I'm saying there? You don't go home alone. When the night comes, that there is somebody somewhere that says, I came to know Jesus because of you. But most of us, our lives is just us. Just we, myself, my children, my dad, and all that. There is nobody. You've been a Christian for how many years? There's nobody in this world, directly or indirectly. Because a lot of the indirectly, we will find out in heaven. It may not be the last person that spoke or that brought the person to church or something, but somebody that I prayed or somebody that lived a good life or whatever. But you can't even say, it was because of me, something I did, intercession I interceded, or times I fasted or whatever, that made this person to come give their life to Jesus. It means when you go home alone. Because the night is speaking to us, you want to ensure everybody, please, that you don't go home alone. Am I still talking to people this morning? Yes, sir. Let me begin to summarize, and I'll let us go. Summarize in three ways. If we are conscious of the transient nature of life, we will be purpose-driven. If we are conscious of the transient nature of life, and my hope is that I sort of shined light on that this morning, that life is transient. It's just passing by. Say, what is your life? It's a vapor that is here today and is gone tomorrow. It says, if we are conscious of the transient nature of life, we will be purpose driven. Purpose will drive you. Mark chapter 1, let's go there. I'll read. After this, I'll read only one more scripture today, and then I'll just pray for us and let us go. Mark chapter 1, let's look at the example of Jesus. Take it from verse 35. Mark chapter 1, everybody turn your Bibles there. The night cometh. The night is coming, my friends. It says, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And as he had gone to pray, before he came back from his prayer, the whole crowd had gathered and people were looking for him. He had become very popular. Verse 36, the Bible says, and Simon and they that were with him, his disciples now, they began to look for him. They followed after him. When he was going to go and start praying, they didn't go. But when the crowd came and they were looking for him, these people, the Bible says, they went and they were looking for him. Verse 37, and when they found him, look at what they said to him. They said to Jesus, all men do what? How many of you will like that? How many of you would like to go viral? You understand what I'm talking about here? So Jesus had gone to pray. And then the disciples came and they said to him, Jesus, you don't know what is happening at the bottom of the mountain. Every man is looking for you. People are waiting for you. If it was you and I, we would be like, this is the day. This is the day my breakthrough has come. My breakthrough has come. And then you will go down and then you stand and then you see, oh, this whole crowd is looking for me. Oh, this is my day. Look at the response of Jesus here. This is a man who says, this will only waste my time in the day. The night is coming. Look at his response in verse 38. The Bible says, and he said unto them, I mean, this is not the response to what they told him. They said, people are looking for you, come. And he said unto them, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore, that's purpose. Therefore came I forth. I didn't come to be celebrated. I didn't come to be having parties down there. So the fact that the people are looking for me here means the work here is done. And the picture I have in my mind here is on the south side of the mountain, the whole crowd is waiting. They're looking for him. The disciples went to look for Jesus. And Jesus said, we're going on the north side and we're going to Capernaum. Are you listening to me now? That's the mindset of a man who understood, I have only 33 years to live. Actually, real ministry, he had only 3 years to live. I don't have time to waste. If we understand, my friends, the transient nature of life, we will be these people that are so purpose-minded. I'll leave that there. I hope you get it. Second thing I want to use to summarize for us this afternoon, if you understand the transient nature of life, you will pick your fights carefully. You won't waste your energy on things that don't matter. There are a lot of things that don't matter that we put a lot of energy into. A lot of things that don't matter that consume a lot of our energy. In church, at work, how many squabbles are you involved in at work? I'll tell you something that will help you, and this helped me a lot. As a young engineer, I used to be this person that was very proud of my work, and I defended my work very passionately. And so if I have my design, I'll go to any length for it. And if I decide that this is the way we're going to do it, and somebody then begins to want to go another way for no reason, I'll fight for it. As I grew professionally, it's not worth fighting for. It's not worth spending all that emotional energy on. Most of my emails to people that work for me today is, how do you want to do it? This last week, I had a case there where I really knew this is how to do it, and I was becoming boiled. How many of you understand when you're at work and something is, you are boiling? You're not like me, you don't boil, okay? But I was angry. And I said, do it this way. And they replied to me and they said, for this reason, we don't want to do it that way. And that working from home is good because you can't strangle people. But I said to myself, this way, or that way, do I even have energy for this now? I've not done my 3 hours, I hope you. So I just replied and said, that's fine. I can tell you something, you will live longer, a lot longer. You make more friends, you will get things done better. A day will come when there is something to really fight for. That is really worth fighting for. And people will know you're not always fighting. So when you say, I want to insist on this, you'll find support a lot easier. That's just free of charge. I've given you now, free of charge, professional counsel. When you understand that, how long is it all? You will pick your fights carefully. You will not waste your energy. And lastly, if you understand that our time here is transient, you will go all out for him. Life is not about how long, it's about how well. You will go all out. And that's what I want to beg every one of you. That's what I want you to hear from the voice of the night. You will go all out for God. This year, I want every one of us to make our lives count. Make your day count. The Jesus that we're talking about today, Jesus lived only 33 years. By the time he came to Galilee to be baptized of John, it was already 30 years. By the time he was on his cross, 3.5 years he had to do all of the work that he had to do. And his works we still speak about today. If you understand that the time is not always there, you will go all out. I beg every one of us, if you're a worker in church, go all out for God. Some of you, God will be putting on your heart things even outside of church to do for him. It was in the olden days that it was only in church you could serve God. There are things that God puts on people's souls, people's hearts, outside of church. But God is asking you to be rich towards him this year. Don't let it be that you live this whole year and at the end of it, all you'll be able to point to is, I worked, and then I got salary, and then I paid my tithes, and then transient things. You remember that song we were singing last Sunday? Where he says, I cast, what does he say? I cast my, I forget it now. I look on the face of Jesus. Not that one. Turn your eyes. Thank you very much. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange, leading in the light. I forgot that last line, but thank you. It says, when our focus is upon him, the things of this world, they are glittering. That's all you are chasing. That's all you are doing. They're glittering. They're like, we can get more money. We can do this. We can do that. All of them, suddenly, they will grow strangely dim. That's when a man begins to live. Acts 13, verse 36. What the Bible says about David. David lived for 70 years, died at age 70. But this is the summary of David's life. The Bible says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. That's a life, my friends. They looked at his life and they said, what he did in his time is he served his generation by the will of God. What's your generation? Those of us that we're living together at this time. That's your generation. And the Bible says David served his generation by the will. He did what God planned for him to do in his time. And when the night came, we read, David called his son Solomon. He said, now I'm ready to go the way of all the earth. I pray for you that your night will be glorious. Amen. That's a serious prayer. That when the night comes, your night will be glorious in the name of Jesus. Amen. When your night comes, you would have gathered treasure on this earth, but you will also be rich towards God. Amen. I pray for you that when your night comes, my friends, and it's time to go home, your luggage will be full on the way home. Amen. That's all I got. I want us to reflect just in a few minutes today. Let nobody say, I'm still young. I can't be thinking of death now. If you're young, it gives you even more time to make your night glorious. To begin now making your night glorious. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Karabu Santala Baria.